I want to invite you to turn with me in your Bible to Joshua chapter 13. And so where we are is Joshua's role was to help the people to conquer the land. If you know Joshua's place in the Bible, it's the sixth book of the Bible. The first five are the Torah, the Pentateuch. The law is given. We have in Genesis the creation and then God's calling of a particular family. And then the next four books focus on that family of God, the Israelite people, the Jewish people coming from captivity in Egypt and being brought toward the promised land. And they come to the precipice, to the border of the promised land, but they don't enter in until we come to really the book of Joshua. And Joshua's calling, his role, his responsibility is to bring the people into the promised land. So as we've seen in these previous chapters, we've seen the beginning of this conquest, and we've seen the Passover in Cana. We saw the fall of Jericho as the people marched around. We saw the sin of Achan as he has held things that he was not supposed to have, and God punishes him for that. In fact, all the people face punishment, and it's narrowed down to him, and he is punished and killed because of his sin. We saw near the end of last summer when the people of God are fighting. And as they are fighting, the sun stands still. And in chapter 12, the last chapter we saw before we moved back into Matthew, we had a list of the kings that were defeated, in particular at the end of that chapter, the ones defeated by Joshua. By this time, we come to a point where Joshua is older. He's closer to the end of his life. And it begs the question this morning that you should think about. Have you ever made some decision in your life, some radical change in your life that changed the trajectory of where you were going? You're doing one thing and you decided maybe to, as we would use the term, reinvent yourself. Maybe you were in a job and you didn't really like the job that you were in, and so you decided, you know what, I'm gonna go back to school and I'm gonna learn something new because I want to do something different with my life. Maybe you decided you were making some bad decisions in your life, and so it was now time for you to do something new. You're going to change those decisions. Maybe it was what you ate or your activity or the places you went. You decided you were going to change that. But also think with me, have you ever given up on doing something because it was just too difficult? It's not a great trait, but it seems to be a natural human trait sometimes that it's too difficult to do this, so I'm going to give up. So you just stop. Kids are prone to do this, right? Because when you're learning things for the first time, especially, they can be very difficult. As children, we don't understand that that's actually our best time to learn something. It's much harder, if you will, to teach old dogs new tricks. But we see things are difficult, and we decide to stop. What we're going to see in this last half of the book of Joshua, as we go through it together this summer, is Joshua's life begins to change and be different from what it was before. But in that change of life, God does not forget about Joshua. And he does not excuse Joshua from the work that he has to do. So this morning, I want us to see three ways in this chapter, in chapter 13, three ways that God works in the calling in our life. Joshua, we're told in verse 1, is old and advanced in years. And the Lord said to him, a most encouraging word, "You are old and advanced in years, and there remains yet very much land to possess." Yeah, we could hear that and think that God is scolding Joshua. You should have done more. You didn't do a good job. You're old and advanced in years, and there's a lot of work left to do. But that's not what God does. God is not scolding Joshua. He is not putting him down. But he is actually preparing him and telling him about the work that is ahead for him. He describes to him in verse 2 all the way toward the end of this little section here in verse 6 that there's a lot of places left that the people of God need to go. So we've seen their conquest happen over these first chapters. We've seen the places that they have taken possession of. There are places on both sides of the Jordan River. And if you'll remember back earlier in the book, there was a time when some of the people already had their possession. And God still says to them through Joshua, "You're going to come with us because we're going to work together to conquer all of this land because it is simply too much for us to do on our own." There's a lot of work to do. And so he lists for him. God tells him about the places that remain, places that the Philistines run, places near Egypt, places near the Jordan River, places that are ruled by the rulers of the Philistines in Gaza and Ashdod and Ascalon and Gath and Ekron. These are all places that need to be conquered. And God promises him that when he goes out into battle, when he goes out to conquer these places and possess these places that God has given them as an inheritance, that God will go out. He says, "I myself," this is in verse 6, "I myself will drive them out from before the people of Israel." But Joshua was told he was to allot the land. He was to tell the people and show the people and remind the people what their inheritance was to be. How does God work in the calling? Well, the first thing we need to know is that God can amend His calling in your life. God can amend His calling in your life. Remember back, if you don't remember exactly what the saying was and you have a bulletin, I think it's on the front, about being strong and courageous. Remember that calling that God placed on Joshua's life. You're going to go into battle. You're going to lead your people, my people, into battle. And you need to be strong and courageous because I'm going out before you and I'm going to fight the battles for you. I'm going to take care of your enemies before you. This place is a place that has been promised, not just to you, Joshua, not just to Moses, but all the way back to Abraham. This is a place that has been promised to you, and as you go out, I am going to go before you. So be strong and courageous. Joshua's calling is to fight and to lead the people into battle. But now this chapter starts off. Joshua was old and advanced in years. That's not just any man's opinion, that's God's opinion. "You're old, Joshua." And so the thought might be, "You're old. Good work, you're done. But instead, God amends the calling. Why does God do that? Because it's God's calling. He can do with it as He wants. And in amending this calling, Joshua goes then from being responsible for fighting to here he's responsible for allotting. He's responsible for telling the people and making sure they are aware of their inheritance. If you wonder what the rest of this chapter is about, because there's so much here. The inheritances that Moses gave to all of these tribes. Where meticulously we read of where the borders are. We read where they run to. We read what valley they go to. We see where they are at, what part of the region they are in, who is supposed to be there, who was defeated there, or who is yet to be defeated there, who is supposed to be there and who is not supposed to be there. All of these verses, all the way through verse 33. These tribes given to these certain regions, this was to be the land that they are to go to and where they are to set up their homes and where they are to farm and where they are to raise their children and where they are to live. All of that is apportioned and planned by God, and now Joshua's responsibility is to remind the people of this allotment, to tell the people of their inheritance. We're not sure exactly how old he is right here. But he could be anywhere from 80 to nearly 100 years old during this time period. And his job is to remind the people of the inheritance that they have before God. Now, in some ways, he's always been doing that, right? Because he's been leading the people into battle. But here God takes and transforms what He was called to do before, and He makes it into something different. There's nothing wrong whatsoever with God amending your calling. That it'll always be the same thing. I think it's one of the unhealthy things that I've seen in ministry. Where ministry has become so professionalized that the thought is that if you're called to be a pastor, you're a pastor your whole life. And if at any point you're not a pastor, somehow you failed in your calling. Or this thought, this notion, which is I think so foreign to the Scriptures, that this idea that somehow you could be a pastor, but if there was anything else that you could do, this thought is told to young pastors sometimes. If you could do anything else, you should do that. And yet now we're to the point in the history of the church where we need more men who are bivocational pastors to pastor small churches where they both do something else and pastor the church. And yet we told a whole generation, if you do anything else, you're not really a pastor. You're not really called, which is garbage. The same is true, though, for everyone who is called of Christ. There are going to be seasons when you have a role and a calling and something that you are doing for the kingdom, and that thing may change later. That calling, that role may change later to where you are doing something else. And I think most of us, if we get to do something that we think is more important for the kingdom, we're like, hey, this is a promotion, this is good. But if God would call us to do something that we think is, well, not as important and lesser for the kingdom, we get offended. We get offended that anyone would think that is important. And yet here's Joshua, the commander of God's army, the leader of God's people. And the calling here is not, hey, go up and fight against this next city. Go up and take this next place. But he's told in verse 7, now therefore divide this land for an inheritance to the nine tribes and the half tribe of Manasseh. Only allot the land to Israel for an inheritance. But God, I want to go out and fight. I want to go out and conquer. I want to go out and take, no, the role right now. This is in part an administrative role. You're old and advanced in years. I need you to do this. There has to be preparation because at some point, Joshua, you're going to be gone. And you could argue that for the next several generations, the people of God are trying to conquer the land. In fact, it could be said that they never actually fully accomplish it. Even in the height of the kingdom during David and Solomon, some of these same names that we see here that Joshua is going to struggle with are the same names that come up that David fights his battles with. The important thing for Joshua to do was to obey what God called him to do. And at this time, it's give this inheritance, allot this land. It's a different calling. It's an amended calling, but it's not a lesser calling. You need to think about that for your life. Is there something you've been doing for God for a long time? And it might be time that there's something else, but you just can't accept that God might amend your calling? That He might change what you're doing? That He might have something for you to do that you have never done before, and it frightens you to think of you doing that very thing? The reality is, God is the one who called you in the beginning. He is the one, like He did with His disciples, who said to you, come and follow Me. Once you go and follow Him, you belong to Him. The calling is then to do what He wants you to do. In some seasons of life, it may seem like it's this spectacular thing. In other seasons of life, it may mean that you are lowly. But that's okay. Because it's His right to amend your calling. Now that ties in with the second thing, though, for Joshua and for us. He can amend your calling, but He does not remove His calling from your life. He does not remove His calling from your life. He doesn't say to Joshua, you had a good run, but I think you're done now. I think you're finished. It was good, but you go enjoy retirement. Retirement doesn't really appear in the Bible. There's a pretty big notion that it's the opposite of that, that there's always something to do. Why? Because God doesn't remove His calling. God's calling for you to serve Him faithfully is a constant calling if you are His child. There is no point in your life where the time is up and you no longer have need to serve Him and follow after Him. There is no Christian retirement. We may have vocational retirement. We plan for that, right? We put aside money for it. We invest in our 401ks and our 403bs and whatever else, IRAs and Roth IRAs. There's a tax difference, I think, in those two. We put back, we save. But we do that for vocational retirement. There is no ministry retirement. the preachers I'm so often most fond of and like to listen to are the guys who decide one day, okay, I'm gonna hang it up, if you will. A buddy of mine says, I'm gonna hang up the jersey of being a full-time pastor of a local church. And they immediately, sometimes with no break, I mean, sometimes they retire, they have their retirement party at their church, and the next week they're somewhere else preaching, leading a church that's without a pastor. Like, I want to listen to those guys because they understand that there's no finishing when it comes to ministry. There's no being done. There's no quitting. But the same is true for every Christian. There is not a point, there should not be a point, where we say, well, God's calling on my life to serve Him is done. It doesn't come. We don't see that for Joshua. Again, God tells Joshua, you are old and advanced in years. But after that is not a command to quit. But rather the work changes. We need to understand that no matter where we get to in our life, God still has work for us to do. And quite honestly, as you approach, say, the retirement years of your life, you should understand God, by those financial investments of your previous years, has now freed you up to do more work for Him. Now think about that. It must be true, because your vocation can very easily consume you. Some of you work in jobs that consume your time. You have bosses with high demands of your time and effort. They want you to be available. If you are your own manager, you know that just adds to your time, because now you are responsible for other people and their livelihood. Well, when you retire, when you hang it up, well, that goes away, right? Now you can enjoy more free time. God's telling us in this passage, do not let your free time be wasted as retirement from ministry. Because now you have more time. You say, well, I'm tired. Yeah, but you get to sleep later. You don't have to get up and go to work. They don't beat you down at the factory. It's not mind-numbing sitting at a desk. You have the ability to travel. God's freed you up to do ministry. And it might look different than the things that you did before. It certainly did for Joshua. But he was not in any way retiring from ministry, because God's calling in his life had not went away. It just had been amended. And there is no point, we must beat that into our own minds, there is no point where we stop serving God. You think about this. When you get to that point that Joshua is at, where you might not want, say, your children or grandchildren or great-grandchildren saying, Grandpa, you are old and advanced in years. I get that from several of my children now. I don't know what it'll be like when I am old and advanced in years. There's one particular child that's not in the room who likes to annoy my wife by trying to help her out of the car. That's what kids, y'all's kids do it too, I'm sure, but mine, they love to pile it on. Not talking about when you're kids, but you don't want them to say that. But when God begins to say that to you, you're old and advanced in years. I think our tendency is to say, well, then I'm done. I'm not really useful for the kingdom anymore. I'm too tired to do any work. I'm too tired to serve God. And yet, Joshua is a reminder to us, God does not remove that calling. You can spend those years of your life when you are old and advanced in age serving Him and find with it so much joy. Remember, you've already lived longer. You know more. You have the wisdom of the life that you've spent. Why would you not then want to use that time to serve the kingdom and the King who you today are closer to seeing than you were yesterday? God does not remove His calling from His people to serve Him with all their life. Now you'll say, it's harder to do that when you get older. You're tired. You don't work as well as you used to. But we got to remember, and this is our third point, that God provides the means for His calling in our life. God provides the means for His calling in your life. When we serve Him, we are never able to do that in our power. Remember what Joshua had seen. He had seen the sun stand still. He didn't do that. He had seen His people march around the walls of Jericho. And march, and march. For days they marched. And they marched many times. And the walls fell down. And the walls did not fall down because the engineering of Jericho and the construction of Jericho was poor. The walls fell down because God supernaturally intervened. Joshua's reminded of that here. Again, he's told in verse 6, I myself will drive them out from before the people of Israel. All of these places that are listed, all of these peoples who inhabit the land that God has given to Israel as an inheritance, all of them will be driven out, not by the power of the army of Israel, but by the power of the God who goes out before them. God provides the means for our calling. God will fight the battle. Joshua has as his responsibility to allot the land. When we think about that in relationship to us, we often feel inferior to do what God has called us to do. If you never feel inferior for what God has called you to do, that means you're rarely, very rarely, attempting great things for God. Like if everything you feel like God's called you to do is everything within your power and ability to accomplish, you've got the knowledge, you've got the resources, you've got the know-how, you've got the time to do it, whatever it is. If you can do all of that on your own, then it's really not something that you're attempting that's great for God. Because when God calls His people to do things, He calls them to do great things. Why? Because He's a great God and He's worthy of great things. He calls us and desires for us to do things that are far beyond our ability, and He gives us this same idea, this same promise that we can go out He goes out before us. Our calling is to be dependent upon Him. We see an example of this given in this long list of all of these places. In verse 14 and then again in verse 33, we are told about the tribe of Levi. Verse 14 says, "To the tribe of Levi alone Moses gave no inheritance. The offerings by fire to the Lord of Israel, the Lord God of Israel, are their inheritance," he said to him. Then in verse 33, "But to the tribe of Levi," it's repeated, "Moses gave no inheritance. The Lord God of Israel is their inheritance," just as he said to them. You know, these other places, they get different pieces of land, and there they're supposed to live and build and grow things, and this is their inheritance. It's the promised land. This was the promise God made to them, and that's their part of the promised land from these particular borders that Joshua and Moses have laid out throughout the land of Israel. But to the tribe of Levi, remember, they're the priests. They're to lead the people as they worship. They don't get an allotment of land. The offerings and the presence of God is their allotment. They didn't need the land. They had God. And they had the offerings that were going to be brought to God. And that would be what would sustain them. So even though theirs was different than everybody else, everybody else has got a little bit of land here, and you're over here in this valley, and you're up beside these hills, this is where you are. Their allotment was different because God provided for what they needed. As you think about, and I hope you have, and I hope you do, what has God called you to do with your life? You need to understand that He has given you the means for that calling. You say, "Well, I feel like God's called me to do something I can't do." Good. Yeah, good. That means He's called you to something great. And if He's never going to leave you or forsake you, and if He's going to work all things together for good for His people, then He is going to provide for you the means to accomplish the calling that He has in your life. Now, I think sometimes we look at the calling, we say, "Okay, God has called me to do this," and we also imagine with that all the steps that it takes to fulfill that calling. And we see it as this straight road. I'm here. God's called me to be there. Oh, and it's just right here. It's I can just get right there. And yet, the calling might take you over there, and it takes you down to Rodehiss, and it takes you around half of Burke County, and then back to finally that place. And you get disappointed because you thought it was just from here to there. God gives us the grace, the mercy, the means to fulfill what He's called us to do. The question is, do we listen? Joshua heard this and decided he wasn't going to allot the land that God had told him to allot. And that would be disobedience. And if we read that in the Bible, that he was disobedient, we would have got upset about that. We wouldn't see Joshua as this person we should look to, this man of character. But how often does God call us, and we know God has called us to do something for His kingdom? Maybe it's specific. We feel a specific calling. Like I remember vividly as a kid at 13 years old and God just pulling my heart toward ministry. I didn't know what exactly that all looked like, but I knew that that's what God was calling me to. Maybe you've had that. Maybe God has pulled you in a direction. Maybe it was toward ministry. Maybe it was toward some type of missions. And you said, God, I can't do that. Maybe it was because you were young and your parents were like, hey, you know, I want you to be this with your life. You know, not many of us have turned out to be doctors and astronauts. Maybe it was later in life. And that scared the fool out of you. Because you got this life and this is what it's supposed to be and this is what I'm supposed to do and this is what my family thinks. And I've got a good job and I've got a good career and I make good money and I've got this home. And so just calling to do something for Jesus just scared you. You decided not to be obedient because you didn't think you had the means to do what it was that God was calling you to do. Friends, I've had some friends like that. And they have been miserable in their life because they would not listen when God called. So maybe it's been something specific. And you just said, God, I can't do that. I don't have those skills. I don't have that ability. God, I can't answer your calling because I'm not worthy. I'm not good enough. Friends, if that's you, let me tell you that is a sad thing to do before God. To think that somehow you will be happy and find joy and life when He has called you to do something and you have refused to do it. But let me also tell you that you do not have to run from that calling forever. You can answer God's call. And there's a room full of people here that will love and support you through that and help you in any way we can to answer God's call. I would also remind you, because I've had others who have said they feel called of God, but it had to be their way, and it couldn't be God's way. Friends, that doesn't work. Answering God's call is saying, here I am. Just like Isaiah does in chapter 6 of Isaiah, here I am, send me. Arms wide open, God lead me. But for everybody else, you say, well, that's not me. Okay, preacher wasn't talking to me. I'm good. I know the Lord has not called me to ministry or missions. Okay, I'm all right. For everybody else, the Bible is full of God calling you to do things that you can't do on your own. And they are not professional ministry things. There are things like going and telling people about Jesus. There are things about praying. We heard Wednesday night from Dr. Lawless from Southeastern Seminary about a culture of prayer, about being people who pray. God has called us to pray. And friends, sometimes we don't even answer that calling. Forget some special calling to be like Joshua and go lead God's people. We don't answer the call to pray We don't answer the calling to read His Word, to meditate on it day and night, to let it consume us and who we are so that we better understand the God that made us. You ask, you wonder. You don't have to wonder, but you sometimes do. Has God called me to do that? Yes. When you find the commands of Scripture, when you find the commands of Christ, has God called you to fulfill those? Yes. You say, well, I don't know what to pray. I could never stand up and pray in front of everybody. It's fine. There's a lot of caution in the Bible about standing up and praying in front of everybody. You've got to be wary of it. You can pray on your own. You can pray in the quietness of your heart. You can pray when people are hurting. You can pray when there are great needs. You can pray for people that are far from God. You know some. You know people in your family, people you work with, who are lost. And they are lost with no hope. Have you ever prayed that God would save them? I'm not even talking about cornering them in your office and telling them about Jesus. You can get to that. I'm talking about asking God, would you save them? They have no hope. You've been called to that. What about little opportunities to serve? You say, I'm not good, but there's so many opportunities. You don't have to be good at it. God gives you that grace. Joshua wasn't a warrior until he went into battle. Joshua wasn't an administrator allotting land until God called him to do it. Friends, these people we read about in Scripture that we hold up and say, wow, they're so powerful. God used them in such a mighty way. They were fallen human beings as we are. We like to idolize them and think we could never do that, and yet we never ask God. We never pleaded with Him to use us in a mighty way. This morning, as you examine your heart, are you walking in God's calling for your life? You know what it is. Some of you are sitting next to someone that has known you for years, and yet they don't know what the calling in your life is, but you know. Your kids would have no clue if you told them what God has really called you to do with your life, but you know. You've been sitting in a service. You've been interacting with someone, whatever it was, and God was clear with you, this is what I want you to be doing. The question is, are you doing that? Or are you trying with all that you are to find something else? Are you ignoring the call that God has placed in your life because of some excuse that you have manufactured? Because trust me, God didn't put it there. If God calls you, and that calling is in alignment with His Word, because God doesn't call you to do things contrary to His Word, friends, there is no excuse that is acceptable. There's nothing that will satisfy. The excuses that we make not to follow God's calling are ones certainly that we have made and are not from God. Or worse, it's our sin. It's our sin that's coming in between us and doing what God has done. For some of you, do you look down on what your calling is now because it's not what it once was? Oh, when I was young, I could do this, and when I was young, I could do that. But I can't do that anymore, so I'm not useful. Friends, everything that you do for the kingdom is a benefit to the kingdom. everything that you do for the kingdom, not for yourself and not because you've all, but for the kingdom of God. Friends, it helps advance the kingdom. Our calling, we've got to get away from this idea that the only calling people have, the only useful people have, is if they're in some type of professional position. If they're on the staff or if they've got a title. Friends, God has called each and every one of us. And here's the thing. When you look around this room, this is our family of faith. And God has called us here to this corner. Some of you He called here a long time ago, and some of you He's called here recently, but He has called us together on this corner for this time to reach people here. But we are incomplete in doing that if we do not all pursue and live in the calling that God has for us. And we must never forget that calling does not go away. You see, this calling is part of the inheritance that we have been given. Not an inheritance of land as we see here in Joshua, but an inheritance that Peter describes as kept in heaven for us. See, their pursuit of conquering this land is just a foretaste of the real promise that God is working out in each and every page of this book and the ones that come after it. See, we have been given a promise, not of a physical kingdom, but of a heavenly kingdom, where King Jesus sits on His throne. And the calling we have is not to conquer some land, but to find our rest in Christ and our calling in Him. And having been found in Him, we take this good news that we have been given, this promise, this inheritance we have been given, and we take it to the ends of the earth. We walk in our calling, and in our calling we serve King Jesus. This morning, what has God called you to do? And how are you doing with what God has called you to do? Bow your heads with me as we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your goodness and Your grace. We thank You that You have given us hope. You've given us great peace. And so my prayer for each and every person gathered here this morning is that they would examine their heart. What have You called them to do? And are they doing it? God, I believe that this morning that You've called some people here to do more than they are doing. That God, some of us need to take Your gospel to the nations better than we are doing. God, there's some men and women who You have called to serve Your church. And they know it and have not listened. God, I pray that would change this morning. There's some people that need to serve their community better. God, I pray that this morning You would lead them toward that. God, there's some people who have given up serving You because they've reached an age where they think they can't do it anymore. God, remove that thought from their mind and show them the great things You have for them to do. God, there may be some men in this room who need to step up and lead better in our church, in their homes. You've called them to do so. God, help them this morning to answer your call. God, if you want to empty this place by sending us, God, to lead in churches and start churches and, God, preach the gospel in other nations, God, do that. God, you don't need us here. You need us to follow you. And so, God, use us in whatever way you see fit. God, we desire to obey your word and follow your calling. And so lead us. Lead us during this time. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. I want to invite you to stand. We're going to sing a final song. And as we do, I hope you'll respond. Maybe you're not listening to the call of God. Friends, would you come and pray? Would you spend this time and come and pray? God, lead me. Help me to answer your calling. Maybe you know what it is, but you've always said, God, I can't do that. Good. He doesn't expect you to. He expects you to follow him. He will give you what you need to answer his calling. Would you respond to God's word this morning as we sing this song together?
The altar's where you need